Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's word. And as always, it is a great word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus was speaking this morning. And, you know, the word that I received, you know, we're in the book of Mark. And it was a right on time word where Jesus had to explain. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for sinners. He came for us to repent. Because we're all sinners saved by grace. And he says, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, what a word. And today we're going to be in Leviticus, where we're going to get some dietary laws on what to eat, what not to eat. You know, and some of these things are things that we should think about even today for health reasons. Because everything God has done always has been for a purpose and a reason to help us. So let us pray this morning as we get started. Father God in heaven, we are so grateful. We are so thankful, and we know that we are blessed to be called sons and daughters of God. Father God, I lift up this word this morning, asking you, Lord God, to give us understanding, discernment, that we may take this word and hide it within our hearts, and our minds, and our spirits, that we may bring it out every time we need it, God. Which is all the time, because, Lord, we always need your word, for we stand on it. It light us up, God. It is our square. It's the word of God. Father God, I ask you to give me what to say as I pray every day, Lord God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, Lord God. For you are my strength, Father. And you are my Redeemer, that I am saved by your grace and your mercy and your love and your kindness. And so, Father God, as I lift up your word today, let it touch someone's heart. Let it touch someone's mind. Let it touch someone's spirit. In the name of Christ Jesus, Father God, I thank you for another day. I thank you for this day of do-over. Let me not waste it. Let me not throw it away. Lord God, I ask for strength as I start a new work schedule, asking you, God, to lead and guide me, that I will do it the right way, your way, God, and that I will take you with me wherever I go. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor and I give you glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. All I can say is thank you, Lord, for another day. Didn't have to wake me up this morning, but he did. So let's get into the word of God today. And we are in Leviticus chapter 11 on this 20th day of February. Happy President's Day for those that are off work and able to enjoy a day of rest. I pray that your day is blessed and that you have some time to spend with your children, because if I'm not mistaken, our kids are off also today. So praise the Lord, everybody, as we get into our word. And the word of God says in Leviticus chapter 11, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying to them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. Among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hoof and chewing the curd, that you may eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the curd, or those that have cloven hooves. The camel, because it chews the curd but does not have cloven hooves, it is unclean to you. The rock's herrick, because it chews the curd but does not have cloven hooves, it is unclean to you. The hare, meaning rabbit, because it chews the curd but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. And the swine, can't be eating that pig, because it is unclean. And it says this, and the swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, does not chew curd, chew the curd, is unclean to you. Their flesh you shall not eat, their carcasses you shall not touch, they are to you. These you may eat of all that are in the water, whatever in the water has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat. But all in the seas or in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the water or any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination to you. They shall be an abomination to you, and you shall not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcasses as an abomination. Whatever in the water does not have fins or scales, that shall be an abomination to you. And these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, the falcon, after its kind, every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-haired owl, the seagull, the hawk after its kind, the little owl, the fisher owl, and the screech owl, the white owl, and the jackdaw, the carrion vulture, and the stork, the heron after its kind, the hoopoe, and the bat, all flying insects that creep on all fours, shall be an abomination to you. Yet these you may eat of every flying insect that creeps on all floors, these which have joined legs above their feet with which to leap on the earth, these you may eat. The locust after its kind, the destroying locust after its kind, the cricket after its kind, and the grasshopper after its kind. But all other flying insects which have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you. So you can eat grasshopper and locust, but you can't eat flies and ants. Ooh. But these you shall become unclean. Whoever touches the carcass of any of them shall be unclean until evening. Whoever carries part of the carcass of any of them shall wash his clothes and wash his clothes, and any of them shall wash the clothes and be unclean until evening. The carcass of any animal which divides the foot but is not cloven hoofed or does not chew the curd is unclean to you. Everyone who touches it shall be unclean. And whatever goes on is falls among all kinds of animals that go on all fours, those are unclean to you. Whoever touches any such carcass shall be unclean until evening. Whoever carries any such carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It is unclean to you. Those also shall be unclean to you. Among the creeping things that creep on the earth, the mole, the mouse, and the large lizard. Let me read that again. These also shall be unclean to you. Among the creeping things that creep on the earth, the mole, the mouse, and the large lizard after its kind. The gecko, the minotaur lizard, and sand reptile, the sand lizard, and the chameleon. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whoever touches them when they are dead shall be unclean until evening. Anything on which any of them falls when they are dead shall be unclean, whether it is an item of wood or clothing, or skin or sack, whatever item it is, any work is done, it must be put in water. And it shall be unclean until evening. Then it shall be clean. Any earthen vessel into which any of them falls, you shall break. And whatever is in it shall be unclean. In such a vessel, any edible food upon which water falls becomes unclean, and any drink that may drunk from it becomes unclean. And everything on which a part of any such carcass falls shall be unclean, whether it is an oven or cooking stove, it shall be broken down, for they are unclean and shall be unclean to you. Nevertheless, a spring or cistern in which there is plenty of water shall be clean, but whatever touches any such carcass becomes unclean. And if a part of any such carcass falls on any planting seed which is to be sown, it remains clean. But if water is put on the seed, if a part of any such carcass falls on it, it becomes unclean to you. And if any animal which you may eat dies, he who touches its carcass shall be unclean until evening. He who eats of its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. He also who carries its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. And every creeping thing that creeps on the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Whatever crawls on its belly, whatever goes on all fours, or whatever has many feet, among all creeping things that creep on the earth, these you shall not eat, for they an abomination. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creeps, nor shall you make yourselves unclean with them, lest you be defiled by them. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the animals and the birds and every living creature that moves in the water and of every creature that creeps on the earth to distinguish between the unclean and the clean and between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten. Chapter 12 of Leviticus. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity, which means when she's on a period. She shall be unclean, and on the earth, on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hollow thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity. And she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. When the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering, to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law of her who has born a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one as a burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean. And you're like, okay, so we got some life examples and life lessons for this word this morning. Leviticus, and it says this, and I love Dr. Stanley, so I want to make sure that I give my identification. This is Blog Talk Radio, and you are listening to Moving Forward with Minister Bridget, and we are a Bible study radio show. We study the Word of God. We read the Word of God. My assignment is to read the Bible in 1 year, from Genesis to Revelation, amen. And this year, as well as last year, and half of the year before, we came out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principle Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And all I can say is it is a absolute to have in your biblical arsenal. You need to get this as a Bible. It is a fantastic word of God. And I would tell anybody to get it. It is worth anything that you do to get this Bible. Please get it. And again, I'm not paid by In Touch Ministries or any ministry of Dr. Stanley. I just say this Bible is a fantastic Bible. It breaks everything down so it's understandable. I come out of New King James again because it's easy to understand and the word flows into your spirit that you may understand it a little bit better than some King James readers. And I love King James, so I don't want anybody getting upset. Oh, she's talking about King James. I like King James. But I also love New King James because of the understandability of the word. Same word, spoken in a little bit clearer form. So just saying. And that is my disclaimers. That is my station ID. Again, thank you for listening in this morning as we go through dietary law. And if you stop and think about everything that has been put in as a dietary law, it makes sense. You know, some like certain foods mess with your body as far as poisoning, you know, full of different types of chemicals that we don't even know. It makes sense not to eat those things because some things cause inflammation. Some things cause diabetes. Some things cause high blood pressure. You know, I don't eat a lot of the things on there. I don't eat pork, and I have given up shrimp and lobster and crab and all those things. I have not eaten. I do eat salmon. I do eat different types of fish. I have even pretty much cut and don't eat catfish, the bottom feeder. You know, sometimes if I want fish and that's all they have, I will eat it. But I just say this, it's not the best fish to eat. It really isn't. You know, so we need to think about what we're putting in our body. And I'm doing my best to try to limit the sugar, you know, cakes and pies and that kind of thing, because they are not good for you either. You know, so we have to be very careful what we eat. So just throwing that out there. But this is what the Word of God tells us, and this is our title. It's actually not our title, but it is a word that makes so much sense. And it says, you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. You know, Jesus said, you know, that he didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinner. You know, and so what we need to do is understand we want to be holy like God. Is that God created us to be holy as he is holy. He makes us holy when we place our faith in Christ. And we live out that holiness when we are led by the power of his spirit and obey God. We all, some of us, are in disobedience. And we need to learn to be obedient to God. For he is holy and he wants us to be holy. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy, is the word of God. And we should take that to heart, to try our best to be better. And I would be a liar if I said, oh, it's easy, because it's not. It is not always easy to do what you're supposed to do. Because the world pulls us in every direction. But we have to pray daily to ask God to keep us from being sinful. And as we get into our next word this morning, life lesson, also from Leviticus, interesting command is what Dr. Stanley calls it. And it says this, all of God's commands are for our good and well-being. Of course, it is easier to understand some of them more than others. We agree that we should not murder anyone, Exodus 20 and 13, or steal, Exodus 20 and 15. However, we might wonder how the commands of Leviticus 12 are still essential for our life. certain Leviticus 12 is not very politically correct. You can say that again. Especially in declaring women who have just given birth as unclean. To be unclean meant that a person was morally or ceremonially defiled because they had come in contact with blood. A disease such as leprosy, food specifically forbidden by God, or a dead person or animal. As a result, the unclean person was not permitted to, as Leviticus 12:4 says, touch any hollow thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. For the new mother, the purification time was to last 40 days for a boy and 80 days for a girl. That's some time there, 40 days and 80 days. One might wonder why God would order such a law often. After all, aren't children supposed to be a blessing? We read in Psalms 127:3, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Yet, to understand the significance of God's command, we must realize that the majority of the require women to return to their daily chores immediately after childbirth. Those societies took no notice of the needs of the mother or of the child to their great detriment. Y'all catching that? What we think is God saying that having a child makes you unclean. No, God is saying you need to rest after having a child. You need to rest from your chores. You need to rest from going out. You need to rest. And so many times you have these in this day and age, you have a baby on Monday. There are women that are back to work on Wednesday. We can't do that. Our bodies need rest. Our children need time to bond with their mothers. And so God has given a good example that women need to take some time off. And I love that word. And it goes on to say, yet to understand, I'm saying it again, the significance of God's command, we must realize that the majority of ancient cultures require women to return to their daily chores immediately after childbirth. Those societies took no notice of the needs of the mother or of the child to their great detriment. And, you know, I was watching a mini series. And it talked about slavery because, of course, this is African American History Month. And slavery is a big part of American history. And it talked about how these enslaved women would have a baby practically in the field and be required to be back to work the next day. And the baby was taken from them, given to a wet nurse, and that was it, gone back to work. No bonding, no love, no nothing with that mother and child. Hard and cruel, heartless and cruel, not to include the fact that many of them were raped, impregnated. It's horrible. But no rest. And then you wonder, unless they were, quote unquote, good breeding stock, then they were taken care of and didn't have to go back into the field to work until death. We got to pray. Nation built on blood, sweat, and tears. And we have to pray for our country and pray for those that have benefited from that horrible institution. And as we continue in the word, it says, however, the Hebrew culture was different because of the commands of God found in Leviticus 12:1-8. Jewish women were able to recuperate during their time of purification, regaining their strength and bonding with the baby instead of an unimportant afterthought. The babies would not only have the undivided attention of their mother, but the whole household would pull together to care for them because the mother could not do any cooking or cleaning. So as you can see, the time of purification, God's command was actually a blessing. As with all of God's word, we must look deeply into it, to the underlying spiritual principle in order to understand God's profound wisdom in it. This is why the 111th Psalm, verse 10 declares, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. God's word is always good and trustworthy. Therefore, don't pick and choose what commands you want to follow. Instead, understand the wisdom of the whole counsel of God. What a mighty word. This is a great word. You know, and that's why, you know, you get, you know, 6 to 8 weeks off most jobs after you have a child. It's important for the mother to heal. And it's important, child, to bond. I thank God that I was able to take time off for both of my children. I was grateful for that, you know, where I did not work. And it made my sons and I very close because I had that time with them as infants. So thank God when you have the opportunity to be off and be a mom full time. What a blessing. And when you read the word of God and see that it is a godly word to take time off. 25th Psalm, verses 8 through 15. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. I read that again. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is a man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Hallelujah. The Lord shows us his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Hallelujah. And as we go to a life lesson from the 25th Psalm, verse 11, Your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. God saves us not because he thinks we're smart or worthy of his son's work on our behalf, but because of his own nature and goodness. He saves us for his name's sake and for his glory. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for salvation. I thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus Christ, who is my Savior, who is my friend. Hallelujah. Thank God this morning for his grace. Thank God this morning for his love this morning, because he gave you an opportunity for a do-over. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, the proverb of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. I said again, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he cast away the desire of the wicked. Praise the Lord this morning. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 28. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through They let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts?" And can you imagine you thinking something that you know is negative, and the person that you're thinking about looks at you and says, "Why are you thinking such and such?" And you thinking to yourself, "I know what I'm thinking." And then you get a little afraid because now you know that your negativity is coming through. And he saw it, he heard it, and no. And then you know, oh, shoot, maybe he is the Son of God and maybe he's not blaspheming. I need to keep my thoughts clean. And as he goes on, he tells him, but immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. And we know that Levi is Matthew, one of the authors of the gospel. Now it happened as he was dining at Levi's house that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, but there were many and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Hallelujah. Jesus said, "I'm a doctor, and I came to heal the sinful. I didn't come for the well and righteous. I came for the sick and sinful." He didn't come for those that are already there. He came for those that are still seeking, still wanting to be better. We have to know we all need a doctor. Some, the best doctor to have is Dr. Jesus. Hallelujah. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees was fasting. Then they came and said to him, "Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. In those days, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins." Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Hallelujah, what a word this morning. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. The Bible never tries to hide the fact that the wicked can indeed amass treasures through their wicked deeds, but it also insists that those ill-gotten treasures will not benefit them at all in the end. There are folks that have a whole lot of money but have no soul. A whole lot of money but are miserable. How many times have you seen where people with a lot of money commit suicide? And you're like, they have everything. Why are they killing themselves? Because the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And if you are trying to change and you don't know what to do, there are those that kill themselves. And we got to pray for their souls. We got to pray for their souls because there are so many that don't know the Lord, don't know the name of Jesus because they weren't raised that way. Thank God that many of you are raised that way to know there is a Jesus Christ. What a word. And our title for this morning is coming out of Mark chapter 2, verse 17. I did not call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Sometimes we feel as if we need to be perfect to see God, but the opposite is true. Jesus came to help all of us in our deepest, most desperate need, the need for a Savior. If you feel weary, discouraged, and hopeless, I've been there. I felt that way. But I thank God for Jesus Christ. That Jesus is the physician you need. He offers himself to you right now. And I thank God for Dr. Jesus. I thank God for his healing power over my soul. I thank God that he healed me from the inside out. I thank God that I have Jesus as my Savior. All I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your saving grace, for your Son who loves me in spite of me. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 2, verse 22. No one puts new wine in old wineskins. All of us tend to resist change, but God's Spirit continually moves in new ways and in new directions. If we want to keep in step with the Spirit, we need to be willing to change the way we do things. We all need to change. Change is good. It benefits your spirit. It benefits your heart. As Tom LaMann sings, change me, oh God. Make me brand new. Well, we need that in our lives. We need to be made new. We need to be made new wineskin so we can receive the new wine of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Mark 2 and 27. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. God created the Sabbath to bless humankind, to give men and women a much needed opportunity to rest. Come on, I say it again. The Sabbath was made to rest, relax, and regain strength. The Sabbath was not meant to be a burden, but a blessing. I want to say that again. The Sabbath was not meant to be a burden, but to be a blessing. Just like when we just read in Leviticus, the women getting time to rest, called being unclean. Because we all know what's coming out. And it gives your body time to heal from childbirth. That's a blessing from God. Rest, rejuvenation. That's what God wants for us, to learn how to relax, how to rest, how to rejuvenate. So many times we run, 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 run. And I can't speak for anybody, but but myself. I have a tendency to do that, to go, 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 go. And then God puts me on my back. I don't want to wind up in a hospital bed because I didn't take the time to rest. Sometimes you just got to take some time away to rest. Needs rest. You need to go to bed. You need to get a good night's sleep. You need to rest. And as we get ready to wrap it up this morning, if there is anyone that has a word from God and would like to speak, now is the time to push that number one on your phone as you call 213-943-3597. We will be wrapping up early today because our word was just not a long word. And that's what we do. We read the word of God. And we go by how much time it takes for us to get what we need to get from God. And the word of God for this 20th day of February, pursued by goodness. And it's from the 32nd Psalm, TPT. Why would I fear the future? For your goodness and love pursues me all the days of my life. Then afterwards, when my life is through, I return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. That is beautiful, I have to say. Now you know what I'm getting ready to go to King James, to read that word from King James. I love Psalms. The Psalms are beautiful poetry to my soul. And we know as they went through all of this, you know, the 23rd Psalm, we know the Psalms. And, you know, I was reading and I'm like, okay, why would I fear the future? For your goodness and love pursues me all the days of my life. Then afterwards, when my life is through, I return to your glorious presence to be with you forever. To be forever with you. And that's beautiful. Yes, it is. But when you go to the source, to King James, and read the sixth verse of the 23rd Psalm, it's so simple and beautiful. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's simple, and it's beautiful, and it's sweet, and it touches your spirit. Sometimes folks can come in and do too much adding to the word of God. But then when you get to the prayer, good Father, you continually pursue. Your continual pursuit is a joy of my life. There is nowhere I can go that your love does not reach me. There is nothing I could do that would make you turn away. Your love and goodness are like a rushing river after the rain, and I am right in its path. When I look back over my walk with you and see the goodness that you have planted in every season, why would I choose to worry about what is to come? Today is a fresh opportunity to see your faithful love showing up in tangible ways. Give me eyes to see. May my heart overflow with love for you as I continually remind myself of your goodness that makes my life. I will not miss this opportunity to practice gratitude. Thank you, God, for your unending patience with me. I delight in you because you are consistently delighting over me. How I love you. Or do you have a how I love you, God, in your spirit this morning? And I love this is the question for today. What was the last thing God did that gave you assurance that he is with you? And all I can say is he touched my heart yesterday. You know, at church, it was so beautiful. You know, the praise team sung Worth. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. When you hear those words, it does something to your spirit. And as we go back this morning, it is not in our lesson, but I just feel in my spirit just to speak the 23rd Psalm in its entirety. The Lord is my shepherd. And if you want to say it with me from your homes, please do, from your cars, from your desk. It will get you through this day. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Though thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And can you say amen with me this morning? As we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. And I see the hand, and I will answer that call. But we're going to have a quick word or two from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our Saturday word, I don't think I gave on yesterday, was this: the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. The Lord is my shepherd. He will neither fail nor abandon you. Whatever you go, wherever you go today, God will be right there with you. Hallelujah. God will be right there. And for this morning, peace is not the absence of problems, but peace is the presence of God. And now I understand why the Lord had me read his shepherd, the 23rd Psalm. It fits with Sister Carolyn's words for Saturday and this morning. And on yesterday, it was a psalm: delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Woo! What a mighty word. And as Jesus so eloquently put it, he did not come for the righteous, but he came for us who are sinners, because none of us are perfect. We all have sinned and fall short of God's grace. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If you haven't repented, today is a good day to do so. 6962, your line is open.
Good morning, Pastor Bridget. The Lord told me to remind people to be holy, for he, the Lord God, is holy. And with holiness comes humbleness. We must be humble before each other, for God is calling us to do what he said to do. We have to stop sitting and start getting out and blessing people.
Amen. And
showing them the love of God.
Woo. What a word. Thank you so much, Evangelist. That is a word from the Lord. It's a word that fits everything that Jesus has spoken. Again, it's time to get out. It's time to evangelize. And to all my church brothers and sisters, it's time to get out of the four walls. It's more than a Sunday seat. It's an everyday endeavor. So thank you so much, Evangelist. What a mighty word to end this morning. As we thank God for his grace, as we thank God for his mercy. Evangelist, pray us out this morning.
Yes. Dear Lord God, before my prayer is heard, God, I want you to forgive me, God, of any sins, God. Cleanse me from all iniquity, Father God. Oh, Lord, I ask you to bless each and every person on the prayer line today, Father God. Touch them, God. Touch their hearts, their minds, and their soul, Father God, with your words as they go about their day, Father God. Give them traveling grace and mercy, God, as they go about their way, God. But let them know, God, to show somebody else they don't know the love of you, God. whether in thought or deed. Father God, bless us this day, Father God. Lead us and guide us, God. We thank you, God, for this day, Monday, February 20th, 2023, God, we never saw before, God. I thank you, God, for blessing us, Father God. Help us, lead us, and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And as we say together, my sister in Christ, it's a wrap.
Wrap. What?
It's a wrap. Okay. Have a blessed day, family. Knowing that you are being prayed for. Somebody is praying for you today. For we lift you up, each and every one. That those that listen live and those that listen later, may the Lord God watch over you. May the Lord God bless you. May the Lord God let his countenance fall upon you and give you peace, give you rest, and give you rejuvenation. Thank you all. Be blessed. Join me tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Sorry, I was wrong. I was getting y'all up early, wasn't I? 7 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. Come join me as we move forward in the Word of God. If you want to get up at 6, please do so, because that's what time I wake up. But come and join me 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, and have a blessed and wonderful day. God bless you all. It's a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work.
Amen.